last time we spoke about the idea that Shir HaShirim, the Sefer Ava, which Rashi says is Mola Yir HaShamayim, the Rashi in Perek HaRoi and Brochus, that what Shir HaShirim is Mola Yir HaShamayim. The Meshorim HaHivucha, that the Ava of Hashem can be arrived at, but only through a path of Meshorim. And the Meshorim, I felt, was a remez to the Meshorim that is mentioned in Mishlei, and in a certain sense to the entire Sefer Mishlei, is Meshorim. Now, the Vilna Gaon has an explanation as an approach to Sefer Mishlei which is very unique. His approach to Sefer Mishlei insists that Sefer Mishlei is not a random collection of Eitzes and Toivos of how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu or fight the Eitz Ahara, or to differentiate between the Chacham and the Ksil, and to inspire a person to learn Torah, and on and on. It isn't, you know, a collection that has a non-sequential, non-connected list of psukim that each pasuk could be taken out of its context, because there really is no context, or at least there's several psukim together. And the prokim do not have a hemshich, and the ideas in the prokim are stand on their own 2 feet. He does not have that mahalak. Clearly, if a person looks superficially at Sefer Mishlei, he would come to that conclusion. And it seems that you could start this Sefer, unlike almost any other Sefer in Kisvei HaKodesh, at any point, and learn it, what Moshul Mo'adav Adayim, to Pirkei Avos. So that every point in Pirkei Avos is a world unto itself. And even when one Mandi Omar says several things, Lav Davka, that every Mefarish will want to connect all of those things together with Asachas. Like, you know, Yehi Beischa Pasuach Levocha, the Yu Ani and Bnei Beischa is obviously connected. But then when it says Al Tar B'Sicha Noisha, who says that that's connected? And so on and so forth. And the same thing with Mishlei. You'll open up a Sefer Mishlei. Let me borrow your Sefer for a moment, and I'll show you what I mean very simply. I'll turn to any place. Happened to open up to Perek Tezayin, La Oda Marche Leiv, Umei Hashem Ma'anei Lashon, Kol Darche Ish Zach Be'enov, V'tolchein Ruchos Hashem, Gol El Hashem Ma'asecha V'yikonu Machshirosecha, Kol Po'al Hashem L'ma'aneu V'gam Rosh L'yom Ra. Every single one of these psukim can be understood independently, and in fact, if a person was not the Vilna Gaon, perhaps, he would be hard-pressed to see precisely what the connection of the psukim is. In other words, is there a connection? Me'echa teisa that there should be. Is there a connection between Perek Tes Vav and Perek Tes Zayin? So, Oizen Shoyma'as Tochachas Chayim Bekerav Chachom in Tolin. Porea Musa Moes Navsho Vishomea Tochachas Konaleiv. Yiris Hashem Musa Chochom of Lifnei Kavod Anova. So these psukim, interestingly enough, could be connected to one another, but who says that they're connected to Lord Amar Chaylev and Hashem Ma'anei Lashem? So not only are the psukim not necessarily connected, but even when they are, who says that those psukim that are connected to prokim that follow or that precede it? According to the Gra, there is no question that this is the mahalach of the Gra, that there is an overarching structure to Mishlei, and that the prokim accommodate that structure to some extent. In other words, it isn't the tight connection of psukim like there would be in Malachim or in Shmuel, but there is nevertheless a hemshech, and the Sefer, as I told you last time, is divided into 3 sections, into 3 smaller svarim. The first Sefer, the Gaon identifies with the word Chochma. The second Sefer, he identifies with the word Musar. And the third Sefer, he identifies with the word Torah. The first Sefer, once again, goes from Perek Aleph through Perek Tes, but not the beginning of Perek Aleph. Because the beginning of Perek Aleph is an introduction from Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk Vav for the entire Sefer, for all 3 halakim. Because that's where he sets the tone, what we might say in English are code words, C-O-D-E, code words. And these code words kind of establish the structure, the remiza of the entire Sefer. So even though you can learn these psukim on their own, and you can see the psukim for what they are by themselves, but Afal Pi Kein, the Goyen also sees them as almost like a table of contents. If you understand the remazim of those words, you can see a table of contents. So in the Lodas Chochma, Umusa, Lahavin, and Rebina, you have the three svarim of Chochma from Perek Aleph through Perek Tes, through Perek Tes, including Perek Tes, from Perek Yud, including through Perek Chav Dalet, and from Perek Chav Hei until the end. To Lamed Aleph. In the understanding that we have of the words Chochma, Musar, and Torah, we would have interpreted that the word Torah means that the psukim at the end deal with Torah. They deal with the importance of Torah, with the significance of Torah, and that, of course, immediately is a question. What's the question? The question is that the Torah that we are talking about, the chashivas of Torah, there are many, many parts of Mishlei, not in the end of Mishlei, but dafka in the beginning of Mishlei and in the middle of Mishlei, which deal with Torah. So Mehechatei said at the end of Mishlei, and if you start looking at the psukim at the end of Mishlei, it doesn't say anywhere at the end of Mishlei specifically that we are going to now talk about Torah and the Limud HaTorah and the Chashivas of Limud HaTorah, etc. So what did the Gaon mean when he said that the third chelik is Torah? So the answer lies in the words of the Gaon himself. The Gaon, in his interpretation of these three terms, says as follows. And this is really the critical point. Chochma, Musar, and Lahavim Imrei Bina are the three Sfarim of Mishlei. What is Chochma? So he says, Leida Chochma, Shalo Lipol, Bereshes HaYetzahara, Asher Hupore, Leraglov, he spreads a net in front of you to trip you up, and you have to have that Chochma to prevent you from falling into his net. And then it says, Musar, and it says Musar, and Musar is what happens if you failed. Chochma did not succeed for you, and you fell into the trap of the Yetzirah. So what about extricating yourself? So that you need Musar. So here the Goyin is a little bit more elaborate than what he said about Chochma. U'musar im Yitzrom is gaber olav, liyaser is atzmo ivulishbar oisai, u'kamosher kosu, it's posuk in Yishayahu mem tes, a pasuk, tes, leimor la asurim tseyu ul asher b'choyshach igolu. V'heinu oison shekvar b'yad yitzram, v'heim asurim tachas yodo, v'gover aleim miyod, yetsu al yedei hamusar. V'osom sheheim b'choyshach shelo or, v'einon makirim pituyo, al yedei haTorah, Yigolu lohem v'akiru pituyo. By the way, the word yigolu in the interpretation of the Goyin, just coincidentally, I want to mention this, is not, right? What does normally the word yigolu mean? No, that's gilu. Yigolu would normally mean to be taken into golus, but it's not shaykh to say that shot in the pasuk because... Right? Because it sounds like Lasher Bachoshech should be Higolu. So it could be that the words means Lasher Bachoshech Higolu is one phrase. You know, to tell the Asurim who were in Golus like in the darkness. In other words, Lasher Bachoshech Huglu. But Higolu means you should be. So what's Higolu? So the Vilna Gaon interprets that Higolu means it should be revealed. In other words, when darkness is dispelled, so the light is revealed. So Vasher Bachoshech, Higolu, come into the light. So the interpretation of the Goyin on that pasuk, and we'll soon see what Makar gives the Goyin opportunity to interpret the pasuk this way, because the pasuk shot of the pasuk is dealing in all the Medrashim with the Aseres HaShvatim that are behind the river Sambatyon, And the speaking about the Golus of that lost at Lovo, they will come out of the darkness and come into the light of the Geula. And the sequence of the Psukim is very clearly that, as we shall see in a moment. But the Vilna Gaon has a smach exactly in this manner that he explains that it's referring to the Yetzer Hara and the pituyim of the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Hara taking over a person. And that's the Choshech that we're talking about, and that's the Beis HaAsurim that we're talking about, that a person who's subsumed under the kochos of the Yetzer Hara is like imprisoned by the Yetzer Hara in a Zohar, a Raya Mehemna in Parshas Pinchas. So even though he doesn't mention the Zohar over here, but that's definitely the marker of the Gra. So the Gra says that the word Musar is a code word for the second chelik of the three chalokim of Sefer Mishlei, and that chelik, the second chelik, is dealing with Eitzis and Tachbulos. How do you break the prison and break out of the prison that the Eitz or Raz already ensnared you and trapped you, and you are now in his prison because he's already taken over and you succumb to him? So how do you get out of it? That's the second chelik. So he quotes the Pasuk, Leimor la'asurim, those who are imprisoned by the Eitz or Raz, say you should leave. They already subjected to the Yetzirah. So it isn't like you're having a skirmish with the Yetzirah before he gets to you. He's already ensnared you. He's already trapped you. You're already in prison, which is worse than a snare. So you are in prison. Of course, the very worst prison, and for what you need, the biggest Yetzirah, is when you think the prison is a palace. See, as long as a person knows that he's in prison, it's a halbe tzara, as they say in Yiddish. It's hefa tzara. But if you think that your prison is a palace, then you're really, really in big trouble. So that's another way of saying what I've said in that famous drasha of mine that I gave, that is often repeated, by Yochlach Rea Hevel, by Yabol. The concept of chasing after Hevel is that eventually the Hevel becomes choshuv. That's the missing chelik of the pasuk. And pisaim, the hevel becomes choshuv, and when the hevel becomes choshuv, you become that hevel. That's the difference between Eidon Lachayte El and Mekei Nichnas Baruch Shtus and Vayelcho Achrei Hevel Vayabol. You see, when a person is Chayte and you need the Ruach Shtus, that means that essentially he's Beseder. He does have the right values, in theory at least. But the problem is, if he has all these wonderful values, what happened? Like, what went wrong? He knows, if it's so good, why is it so bad? The Teretz is, because at the last moment, he was seized by a force that was uncontrollable, and that's the Ruach Shtus that we talk about, that is Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. What is the best proof of that, or the best mashal to it? A shikar. The Rav used to quote this phrase, Vayi Baboker B'tzeis Hayayin. You know, Baboke b'tzeis hayayin, you wake up from your stupor with a hangover, and you look around and you see the chaos that your shichrus caused, the averus that you did, the churban that you made of the house, you know, whatever it is, you beat up your best friend, whatever you saw that you did wrong, you regret it with an ultimate regret. So if you regret it so much, and you never intended to do it to begin with, what happened? Terence says you got drunk. So there's a drunkenness that seizes the person, some sort of drunkenness. Something takes control of him, and he loses the control of his higher instincts and his higher understanding. But he's be'etzem and eved Hashem. But when someone is vayelchach re'evo v'yavolu, when the prison turns into a palace, he's no longer an eved Hashem. And his values and his whole system of thinking is warped completely. That kind of person, you cannot say to him, Baboiker b'tzeis hayayin, because there's never any b'tzeis hayayin. And you know, the Bali Musa had a tremendous marshal. They said that there was a person who was observing that his son was drinking a lot. And he was terrified that his son would become a shikar, and that he'd become an alcoholic. So he decided, wow, what am I going to do to show my son the consequences of shichrus? So he took him to what was in Europe there, the equivalent of the Bowery, where all the drunks are lying in the gutter, and they stink, and they are helpless, and you see the hashchosas hadmus to such an extent that you could imagine that somebody takes one good look at that and he'll never take another drink for the rest of his life. So he drags his son over there, and he sees his son bending over and whispering into the ear of one of the drunks. So he asks his son, "What are you whispering?" So he says, "I asked him, where did he get such a good schnapps?" It's a tremendous emotion. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that if you catch it in time and you realize that you're fighting a yetzer hara, so then you could look at the hashchasa and you see hashchasa. Once you succumb to that yetzer hara and you're in the Beis Asurim and it's a palace, when the Beis Asurim is a palace, you ask, where can you get the schnapps? You don't see the hashchasa. You don't see anything but that this man is reveling in some nirvana of his, that he's totally spaced out and all of his problems are solved. So when I look at him, I see a person who's not one of his problems is solved. He is a problem b'chetza. And he thinks that all of his problems are solved. So what's the pshat? That's why Yechavei Avodah. So there are two kinds of prisons. There's a prison where you know it's a prison, but you're still in prison. You don't know how to break out. So the second chela tells you that. And then there's a prison that you think is a palace. That's the difference between the understanding that choshech is choshech, but I'm in choshech, and the thinking that choshech is art. Ha'omrim la choshech art. That's the thing. That becomes when Vayechu Achrei Ha'evel. So that's what I always said, that if a person puts up on his wall a poster of a great ball player, somebody will ask Batson, what's wrong with that? So Batson, it's a man, and it's not an erva, and it's not a pinup. So in the mail, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a simen mufak that everything is wrong, and you don't have to be a prude. Now, of course, if a person has a picture of the ball player and next to it a picture of one of the Gdolei Hador, so then Stami is nuts. But the people who have the pictures of the ball player generally do not have pictures of Gdolei, because their value system is shakua in shtus. They don't say einadam chotel kenichnas baruch shtus. That's vayechu chayavu vayabolo. This is my value. I admire him. What do you mean you admire him? If you'll tell me that he has certain skills that you don't have, fine. But that's why you put him up on the wall. So where's the great pianist? Where's the great scientist? They also have skills that you don't have. Much more chashuva skills. Much more human skills. Do you have a picture of the animal, the swiftest deer or the swiftest lion? You have a picture there are some gorillas that are more capable of putting the ball into the basket. So how come you don't have a picture of a gorilla? The Teretz is because it's a human skill, it's a human kayach. So you're machshav something that a human being does that you can't do as well. You know, you take the ball and dribble it around the court, and it falls this way, falls that way. And then you see a guy, he can control it and direct it in any direction. And when somebody tries to stop him, he goes right around him as if he doesn't exist. And then he's here, and all of a sudden he's there, and all of a sudden the ball is in the basket, and he never misses a layup. Unbelievable. Agadol Hador. So if it's out the godless Shaboy Ba'alma, so where are all the other qualities? Why don't you have a great dancer? Why don't you have a great artist? You know, so the Teretz is, because I'm not looking for the greatness of the human capacity. It's not so sophisticated. It's not the human capacity to do unusual things. This is my culture. This is my life. Because I enjoy this. I don't go to an artist exhibition, and I'm not interested in science enough that I should put on the picture of Einstein. I am interested in this because it's part of my whole life. I run to the ball game. I listen to the game. I watch the game. I talk to my friends about the game. That's why That's mamish So that's not Beis Asurim. That's the Beis Asurim is my palace. I forgot that it's a Beis Asurim, and I think that I'm mamish in Gan Eden. So that's a madrega, but it's still subsumed under the pasuk of Asurim Tseyu Lasheba Choshech Yigolum. So the Vilna Gaon says, and what's the third one? L'havi nimrei bina. Now listen to this, and this is where the Gaon explains that when he said Torah, he doesn't mean the milus of Torah. L'havi nimrei bina ki af im yeshaber es yitzrei v'ta'avosai. Yira lishaber b'derech ha-toyra v'lo yiyet tzadik harbe yoser mimashikosu b'toro l'moshol sheyis'ane kol ha-shavua v'gam b'shabos v'chadoyme. Person takes it into his mind that he needs to fast, and he's going to fast the entire week, including Shabbos, because he does not want to succumb to the taiva of eating and drinking, and he does not want to be given rein to the nefesh ha-bahamis that he has inside of himself. And in order to purify himself and to sustain that level that he aspires to, he doesn't want to eat at all. So he'll just eat to survive, maybe eat at night, and Shabbos the same. So anybody that has that attitude is in the getter of Alti Tzadik Harbe. But that's just the Moshel Ba'alma. What is the Goyin trying to say? That a chelik of Sefer Mishle is devoted to the notion that even though you have the greatest and the best of intentions, and the intention is to sanctify yourself and to purify yourself and to fight the Yetzirah and to prevent the Yetzirah from taking over, the only way you will be able to do that and prevail is if you do it according to the prescription of the doctor called the Torah. If you don't follow that prescription, you're going to end up drinking poison. So that is what he meant. He doesn't mean that the third chelik is in b'nageya, the chashivus of learning Torah, or the greatness of Torah as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression, but rather that the Torah is the tool that you need to be able to fight the Yetzer Hara properly, because otherwise the etzem effort is going to be a churban. I have a lot of Talmidim that come from these modern schools and they go to Eretz Yisrael. So we had once a Talmud that was in the yeshiva. He really wasn't my Talmud, but I got to know him. And he became somewhat close to me. So he was a Talmud that went to a yeshiva from a modern school. In that modern school, there was only one thing on his mind. Not girls. There was only one thing on his mind. It was a co-ed school. But there was only one thing on his mind, hockey. He ate, lived, and breathed hockey, H-O-C-K-E-Y, the game, hockey. He watched the game, he played the game, he went to the game, and he was the captain of the hockey team in his high school. Yoimum v'layla ach v'rak hockey. But, like everybody else, you go along with the tide, and he went to Eretz Yisrael because 90% of the class went to Eretz Yisrael. Comes to Eretz Yisrael, and before you know it, in the shortest time, hockey doesn't even exist, and all he's interested in is learning Torah Yom Valayla, and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, with Kavona Atzuma, and probably also Vasikin, and probably also not eating very much, and probably also Yom Valayla Shakua in all kinds of Chadre HaTorah, and he's flying high. He happens to be extremely charming, extremely ma'uriv in Mabrios, and you'd think that such a person, because of his nature, would probably not get overwhelmed and not get lost in this effort. And so it seemed. He came back to America, and he went to our yeshiva, because I imagine that was the pshara that his parents made, which they often do, that they want to come back and go to other yeshivas, but the parents insist that they should get a college education, and it comes to a maskona that they should go here. And many Talmidim are extraordinarily matzliach in that. And he seemed to, at the beginning, be very matzliach in it as well. And he was learning Yoyman Valayla, and he was so charming that whenever he would go to the pizza shop across the street, which there was even at that time, but under different auspices, whoever he met, he would engage in conversation, and before you know it, he'd be telling them a Dvar Torah. I mean, charm, you never saw such charm in your entire life. And he seemed to have everything going for him. I tell you that 6 months later, he was Mechal Shabbos. In my effort to figure that one out, I tried to dig a little bit, and I spoke to him also, and I got the impression that he was making a wager with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, I'm becoming yours, but you have to talk to me. Talk to me. He understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to whisper in his ear words. You know, he's not asking even for Nevuah. He doesn't even want Ruach HaKodesh, but he wants Simon. He wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu to underwrite his endeavor. And he never saw any of the Simon. He didn't see any Simon. It's like he's trying and he's crying and he's davening and nothing's happening. And somewhere along the line, he snapped. Al tehit tzaddik avodah. You can't sustain that kind of avodah unless you have come to certain hasagas, certain presumptions that are not valid. And eventually that warps the entire endeavor, and before you know it, there's nothing there. So the avoda of the mashgichim and of all the people that are in Eretz Yisrael is to keep the person on an even keel so that he steigs incrementally. Sulam mutzav arts of Roshe Magia Shemaima, everybody knows that if you take away the first four rungs, the sulam is worthless because he can't climb to the fifth rung from the ground. He has to climb one rung at a time. Even if he missteps and skips a rung, he may trip and fall. And that's the yesod of Shir HaMalos. You know, you have to go step by step. The Baisa of Pinchas Ben Yoris says, Torah mevi lidei. And then there's a whole list, which is the list of the Mesilas Yesharim Sefer. Everybody knows that the Mesilas Yesharim Sefer is not something you could start from the back and work backwards. You have to go from Zahirus to Zrizus. You can't go from Zrizus to Zahirus, because the Sur Meira is a prerequisite for the Asei Tov. And then you can't go to Midas Chasidus unless you passed a certain level. And so on and so forth. Nikiyus, Tyra, Chias HaMeisim. What do you mean? So that's why if a person does not follow that protocol, he's not going to be Matzliach. It's almost guaranteed that he can't be Matzliach. So the third chelik of Mishlei B'Kitzer, to sum it up, is a chelik that says, Yire l'shaber yitzroi b'derech ha-toyra v'lo yi yatzadik harbi. Now let me, before we go into that, which we may have to wait till the next session, I just want to quote you the Zohar, Mamish, for 1 minute. The Zohar in Raya Mehemna, which is in the third, you see, when they quote the pages of the Zohar, according to the Sansino edition, which was in three volumes, Moshe Rav Kook replicated it, so it's there also in the same pagination, but it's three volumes. And the third volume, Parshas Pinchas, the daf in that original, that's how all the Zohars are assigned. Even if you have different Zohars, they always have some remez to what that original pagination was. So the page is daf Resh Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. So this is the chelik called Raya Mehemna. I don't have time now to discuss what Raya Mehemna is, like we get the rest of the Zohar, but it's a section of a type of Zohar, and it's a section of the Zohar. So the Zohar there talks about something that's not our Asik right now, which is that unlike the human being, the Shekhinah has no, it's soilus nekiya. There's no antagonisms within the Shekhinah of good and evil or right or wrong. There's no chaff. Everything is perfect. Mashenkin, the human being. So when the Zohar is describing this dissonance within the human being, he writes as follows. Ukegavno dedosh barnash. He writes like this. He says, Dahochi inun chashoichin im nohirin, kevar kodam moitz v'teven. It's like bar before the moitz, you know, without the moitz in the teven. And b'chayveyan the Yisrael misarvin chashoichin b'nohirin. Because of the chatoim of a Jew, the choshech and or is confounded. And kegavna d'dosh barnash tfuol l'basar iu bar lo kebar oichim mitoch psoles. In the same way that you try to remove the psoles and take the oichel out and separate it, that's the malach of bar on Shabbos too. Kach Yisrael tzorch lemevad b'ruchayon. And that's what Yisrael is supposed to do. And the remez to that, says the Zohar, is the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbara. Just like you break the kernel to get rid of the chaff, so you have to break the ruach, because every person is a combination of those two koiches, of Or and Choshech, of Toiv and Ra, of Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Toiv. So he said, the Bahochi Itrach HaShoicha Deiu Yetzer Hara, the mechasi al rucha kemoitz the mechasi al chita, or ka'onon the mechasi al shimsha. V'loimanach le'lanora, or like the cloud that prevents you from allowing the sun to penetrate and to lighten up your life. So too, you have to break the Yetzirah and get rid of the cloud, and that is zivchil kim ruach nishbara. So he finishes and he says, a person who does it, the bezimda the yidbar barnash ruchei, b'chol eivorin delay, and a person, he says here a very interesting thought that reminds me very much of the Chayyodim's Tefillah Zaka. Barasa Biyadayim, Barasa Biraglayim, right? Says every one of the Eivorim can be either the Chayyolim of the Yetzer Toiv, or Chas V'Sholem, they can become the Chayyolim of the Yetzer Ra. And the Chayyolim of the Yetzer Ra are always trying to fight the Chayyolim of the Yetzer Toiv. Says, how do you overcome them? So he says, if a person breaks his Ruach, then he automatically allows that the Chayyolim of the Yetzer Toiv will win. So he says, and what if he does that? Maksiv Bey? Leimor la'asurim tseyu v'lasher b'choshach yigolu. He quotes this pasuk b'nogeya fighting the Yetzer Hara, the Zayah. Avo shchinta I yisoylas nekiyah, that's a separate discussion. Okay, we will continue Bezus Hashem next time. Next time I want to go into the inyan that he says here, that the third chelek is alfi yitzavik habay, and I want to go through a series of makoros from the beginning until today of Sfarim that deal with this idea of alfi yitzavik habay. And of course, the most central, maybe, of all of them, because he speaks about it in such arichus, with such clarity, is the Sefer Mesilas Yesharim in Precious. Okay.